Evangelistic Temperance. Chapter 2. Living by Breathing. We live by breathing. The first thing that anybody does in the world is to breathe, and the last thing he does in the world is to stop breathing. We can live weeks without eating, and days without drinking, but it is only the smallest number of minutes we can live without breathing. This, of itself, is sufficient to settle it that breathing is the most important part of living indeed, that it is living. As certainly as we live by breathing, so certainly we can live rightly only by right breathing. What, then, is right breathing? How can we know? Upon a certain point, inspiration cites nature as a sufficient teacher. Does not even nature itself teach you that, if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? We may lawfully, therefore, and we know successfully, appeal to nature itself for instruction on the subject of right breathing. We are fearfully and wonderfully wisely made, and upon the great and all-important subject of how to live, even nature itself is a wise instructor through the principles and hints written in our members. The lungs are the organs of breathing, the nostrils and windpipe being merely open passages by which the air reaches the lungs. The place of the lungs is within the chest, which is the upper part of the body. Here they are strongly fenced in with the largest and most powerful ribs, these being further strengthened with the breastbone. The breastbone does not extend downward as far as the ribs number. The lower ribs, growing shorter as they descend, are loose at the front ends, and so are pliable. They are therefore called floating ribs. The general shape of the thorax, the inside of the chest, and of the vital organs therein, the heart and lungs, is that of a cone, right side up, that is, the small end up. However, it is not the shape of a complete cone, but of what is called a truncated cone, that is, a cone with the point off, a cone which does not end in a point at the top, but yet is considerably smaller at the top than at the base. The lungs and heart, the vital organs, completely fill this cavity, so that there is not a particle of unoccupied space there. And as the heart occupies but a very small place, it is evident that almost the whole cavity is occupied by the lungs alone. Now, this cone-shaped body formed of the lungs and heart is not fastened at any place to any part of the chest. It is connected with the throat by the windpipe, but it does not hang from the throat by this. What, then, supports these organs and keeps them in place? The diaphragm. The diaphragm is a floor upon which rests this cone-shaped body formed by the lungs and heart. The accompanying diagram shows the position and general shape of this cone and of the diaphragm which supports it. The diaphragm is that apparent band marked D, running across the body just below the heart marked A. And just beneath the diaphragm is the stomach, marked D. The diaphragm is an arched, or, more properly speaking, a dome-shaped muscle, which forms the floor of the organs in the chest cavity, and at the same time the roof of the organs in the abdominal cavity. It is thus a lateral, or transverse, dome-shaped partition between the inside of the chest and the inside of the abdomen. Thus the vital organs, the lungs and heart, are the contents of the thorax. The thorax has the general form of a cone right side up. This cone is formed almost wholly by the lungs, and is therefore capable of expansion, so as completely to fill, when at rest, the whole cavity of the chest. This cone is supported by the dome-shaped floor of the diaphragm. The amount of air taken in at a full breath varies, of course, according to the various sizes of individuals, but the average is about 230 to 250 cubic inches. Here we stand, then, ready to breathe. Now with the whole cavity of the chest completely filled already by these organs, it is plain enough that in order to get 230 cubic inches of air into the lungs, room must be made for it in some way. And it is evident enough that in order to make the required room, something has to move. To make this required room in the right way, to move the right things in the right way, this is the whole philosophy of right breathing.